let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song, 'cause you are good, good. Oh, you are good.
Good morning. You know what the worst thing is to be like, hey, good morning, you're getting ready to teach. And you're like, hey, good morning, and it's just like crickets. Nobody like acknowledging you. How you guys doing this morning? I don't need acknowledgement from you. I'm good. I love the Lord loves me. Hey, a couple announcements real quick. This week, we've got a painting contractor. He's actually our next door neighbor. He did the weed store across the street. And we're gonna get him to say on our building, Jesus will take you higher. How about that? Would that be cool? I don't know. I thought it'd be, Carrie said that one time. She said, man, we got to get Jesus to take you higher on the church. And I told it to our neighbors, and they were like, And I'm like, seriously? And they're like, I don't know. They didn't get it. But anyways, we're going to have the outside painted by the end of next week is what we're hoping for and they're shooting for. At the latest, it will be completed by Easter. And then today we've got material coming, and you guys, all I can tell you, I don't have anything to show you or what this is going to be like, but I promise next Sunday when you come in here, this whole area is going to look incredible. It's going to be legit. So we're going to repair all of this back here with some pretty cool stuff. Not that it matters, right? I mean, you don't have to have a great building to get together with the Lord. You know, we started out in a garage with oil on the floor and little old ladies coming in there with their blankets on because we didn't have no heat. It was ridiculous. But guess what? You know, we show up to hear the word of God. We show up to connect with the Lord. We don't show up because a place is cool, although we got a cool place to show up. Thank you, Jesus. But no, people look at the cross. People look at the cross and they're like, man, that's so cool. You guys got a cross. But they don't understand that's water damage. That's falling apart at the seams. But how cool when it falls apart at the seams, you see the cross. Hey, there's a point. Hey, there might be a point in there. When I'm falling apart, man, I pray that God, you guys see the cross. That's what I'm saying. That's cool. So we're going to be redoing that. You guys ready to get in the Word of God? Hey, by the way, too, let's thank the ladies who serve out in the front. Kathy, let's give Kathy some thanks. And Michelle, keep it going for Michelle. Don't you ever say nothing bad about these ladies. I'll tell you what, man, God will get you. So we just want to thank them and everybody, man, everybody that's contributing to help us get this church started in this building. And we're stoked about it. We believe God's going to do good things. Do you? Good. 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 Hey, let's pray, and then we're going to get into Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. So, Father, we come into your presence, and you're good. You're good. Oh, you're good. I pray that that song is in everybody's head all week as we go out of here. When we confront things, when we're going through stuff, when we're doubting our faith, Lord, when we're scared and got anxiety, that song goes over and over in our head and we just can't do nothing to get it out. You are good. You are good. And so, Father, we're asking that you show up in this place today. Open up our eyes and our ears. We need to hear a word from you, Lord. We can't leave this place the same way we came in. There's got to be a miraculous work in us today, Lord. So do it through the hearing of your word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we're here. We're ready to hear, Lord. We're ready to listen. Speak to us now. Your servants are all listening, Lord. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're going to be at. 11 through 22 is where we're just going to be spending a short time this morning. Paul is still in jail. And I know he's been there for a long time, the last few weeks, but he's still going to be in there for a little longer. Because Paul, as he's in jail, this is where he writes what is known as the prison epistles. God had to slow this boy down because he was going all over the place like crazy. And so he ends up in jail. And because he ended up in jail, we've got the epistles, the prison epistles, the letter to Ephesians, the letter to Colossians, the letters to Philippians, the letters to his friend Philemon. And so this is one of those books that Paul's writing to his friends as he's still in prison. And last week, as he's sitting there in jail, he's got a lot to think about. How many of you guys have been in jail? Come on, raise your hand high. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, when you're in jail, and I've heard stories, But you got some time to reflect and to think about some things that are important. And so Paul wrote last week and he says, this is one of the most important things I got to get to you guys. You're saved by what?
Grace.
Grace through faith. And it's not of a work of yourself, lest anybody should boast, but it's a free gift of God. And the reason why is because works glorifies us, but grace glorifies God. Don't you know it? If you haven't experienced, I wouldn't expect you to say amen to that. But we've all gotten in on God's grace. What's it stand for? God's riches at Christ's expense. And it happened when we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. You know, I love that God didn't wait for me to figure it out before he worked it out. Hey, how many of you could raise your hand high and say, if it was up to me to get stuff worked out before God stepped in, I'd be a mess, and God ain't got that time. He's not got that kind of time. And God's got all the time in the world, but you know what? We were a dead, lost cause. And Paul says you were in rebellion and in your failures, and still Christ showed up. He didn't wait for us to get our life right before he stepped in and he worked everything out. He's working it out. Even right now in your life, God is causing all things to work for your good and his glory. He's not waiting for you to pull it together. He's going to do it for you. That's a message for the one who came in here today and you're like, man, I'm tired of fighting and I'm sick of this. Hey, I got some good news for you, my friend. The good work which God started in you, he will complete it in you. And that's not me trying to hype you out. That's the word of God telling it straight to you. What he started in you, he's going to finish in you. And so Paul said, that's good news. That's the word. That's what we got. We have grace. We're saved by faith. Grace through faith. And so somebody would say, well, there you go. I got faith, and that's how I got saved. Well, what Paul's saying is that's not true. Even your faith is an act of God's grace. Just the fact that you can have some faith in God is because God put some life in you. And so Paul said this. He said, listen, we've got a couple. He gave us a couple of sections in his outline in chapters 1, verses 4 through 7. He said that it was God's work for us. He made us alive. In chapters 1, verses 4 through 7, it's God's work. He made us alive, raised us up, and sat us down in the heavenly places. And you're looking at me and you're like, what? I'm still here. I'm at Ark Bible Church, Jason. What are you smoking? Nothing. Nothing. We're seated next to Christ on the throne. He's on his throne and we're seated with him right now. You know, sometimes when I'm sitting on my porch and I've had a bad day and I think of all the people I don't like and I think of everything that's going wrong and I'm thinking of how life is a mess and I get fed up and tired of everything, I look up to the heavens and I say, but you know what? I'm not even in this place. I'm right there where you're at. And where you're at is just fine. You ain't got none of this stuff. You don't worry about none of this. This isn't a concern for you. You're not worried how you're going to pull it off. I'm going to just stay right there. How many of you guys want to stay there? I do. I just want to stay in that place. So Paul said, we've been raised, made alive, and we're sitting next to Jesus. That was chapters 1, verses 4 through 7. And then he says in chapter 2, 8 through 9, it's God's work in us. That was God's work of grace that ignited our faith. That we're saved by what? Say it loud one time. Come on, you guys sound like you're tired. We got grace. He said, we got grace. You're saved by grace through faith. That's God's work in us. And that's so cool because that tells us if we're not dead, he's not what? Done. If we're not dead, he's not done. God's doing a work in you because he wants to do next a work through you. So check out this is where we go into verse 10. He says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Workmanship. I saw that word and I thought that's interesting because the word that he's using there for workmanship is poem. Now, how many of you guys are into poetry? Right? I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not either. In fact, I've always thought poetry was something, you know, that, you know, the ladies were into. I'm not trying to be chauvinistic. I'm just like, they're into poetry. Like, you know, it's all feely and whatnot, and I don't know nothing about it. But when I read that word workmanship that Paul said, check this. Can I teach you guys something real quick? So he says, you're his poem. So you know what I did when I found that out, that the workmanship meant poem? I went and I bought a poetry book. And I started reading it. And as I started reading it, my mind was getting blown because this woman was painting pictures with words. And then at the end, what looked like a mess of words, she made sense of it. That's what it is. Like, you read it and you get to the end, you're like, whoa, that's what she meant. That's where this was going. And there's like this big old beautiful picture from a mess of words. And what God is saying to us is that we may have a mess. We may be a mess. We may come out of a mess. But God's taking that mess and he's making a masterpiece. You're his workmanship. He's doing something with it. Does that encourage you guys to know that he's taking every little thing that we go through and that happens to us and that seems like it doesn't fit or make sense, and God says, I'm doing something with this? I'm making a masterpiece out of your mess. And I thank the Lord that he's done it in my life, and I know you guys can look back and see it over yours. He says we're his workmanship, created for good works, but sometimes it's hard to see what God's doing in us, so we need to remember just how far we've come. That's why he says in verse 11, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called the uncircumcised. If you ever want the room to get awkward, right? Start talking about circumcision. Welcome to church. So by what is called circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So there's a lot to unpack right there. But what Paul's saying is that he calls them to do what? Remember. Remember what? Remember who you were before Christ. Does anybody remember who they were before the Lord? You know, that's where you would just look to your neighbor and you tell him, you think I'm bad now. You should have seen me 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last Friday night. Without God. And he tells him to remember that. And I started asking Paul the question, how come do I got to remember that, Paul? How come you're bringing that up? And here's why, because sometimes we look at our life and it's easy to say, God, you're not doing much right now. Nothing seems to be happening. Nothing's moving in my life. I feel kind of stuck. But Paul says to you, hey, if you want to know how good you got it now, sometimes you got to remember how far you come from. And he says, remember, because when we remember, then it says, hey, you know what? Lord, you are doing something. I am doing good. I am blessed. You are working some stuff out. I am on my way up, because God, for a second there, I thought things were all messed up, but then I remembered where you brought me from, and that gives me hope on where you're taking me. And so Paul says, remember where you come from, because it's going to give you some power where you're at. I think about it all the time. I do. I think about how far God's brought me. Whenever I start feeling messed up and low, I start thinking about how low I actually was. And then I almost start getting a little prideful. And I say, okay, Lord, I gotta simmer it down a little bit. You know, we all got issues. So he's saying, hey, you guys gotta remember that you're without Christ. Man, if you're ever gonna not want to hear anything in your life, it's you're without Christ. That's worse than the news of a breakup. Your bankruptcy, the house don't go through, you don't get the job you want, you're sick. Those are bad. That's bad news. You know what's even worse than that? Being without Christ, being without the love and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. And he says, hey, there was a time we were all in that place where we didn't have any of that. We didn't know the Lord like we know. We were without Christ. That's what he says. And if you don't have Christ, you've got nothing. Everybody wants to be rich. I know rich people. And you know what they want? They want to be happy. And it's like everybody wants something else than what they got. So you can go after it, but at the end of the day, it's not going to be what you need. Didn't Jesus say, what's it good if a man gains the world and what? Good question, Jesus. You might be onto something. You can have it all, but it's nothing if you ain't got Christ. There's nothing there. I promise you that. And some of us have seen it. We've gone after things. We've done stuff. We've tried to fill our time up with this and that. And at the end of the day, we were found wanting and still needing the Lord. The drink can't fix it, and neither can the weed. The money's not going to help. It's great to have good health. Thank you, Jesus. But at the end of the day, the only thing that we need, the only one thing we need for the rest of our life and all eternity, he goes by the name of Jesus. That's it. You can have everything else, but it's not going to be what you want when you get it. And so sometimes, you know, he says to them, you are aliens and strangers from the covenants of the promises. See, God picked the Jews to give his promises to, his contracts to. You remember he made covenants with Abraham and Noah and David. You remember all those covenants and those promises? He didn't give them to anybody else, but he gave them to the Jews. Now, why did he pick the Jews? I'll tell you why. Actually, I don't know. I have no idea, because they didn't have a lot of wealth. They didn't have a lot of talent. They were not the biggest, the strongest. You guys remember Gideon? Gideon, God calls Gideon and goes, I'm going to use you in a mighty way, you powerful warrior. And Gideon's like, whoa, God, I know you know a lot of stuff, but you know, my tribe lives in a trailer park. And my trailer is like the least trailer in the park. Like, are you sure? And God's like, I know what I'm doing. I'm not choosing you because you got something to offer me. So when I look at us and I think, man, why did you choose? You know, the better question is that we need to be asking, not why he picked the Jews, but why did he choose us? Why did he, or from the foundation of the earth, adopt you and then die for you and then fill you with the Holy Spirit? You know, and sometimes I just got to go like this. I just go like that. I walk around like that sometimes. I just shrug my shoulders. I don't have an answer. I don't get it. But you know what? God's chose us. That's what the word of God says. He chose you. You didn't have no choosing. He got you, and you're going to have him. But see, if it was me, I would have been checking business references, background checks, doing some interviews. God says, no, I know what I'm doing with you. And he called Israel, and he made a covenant with them, and he gave promises to them. And what was to happen was they were to take those covenants and promises and be a light to the world. God told them, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing to the world, you Jews. And you know what happened? They got God's word, they got God's law, and they were to go out and tell people, even the Gentiles, hey, God does love you. God's got a plan for you. And they had the word of God, and they would go, and they were supposed to go out and be a light to everybody in the world. But guess what happened? They became the world, and they couldn't help the world. And you know what? I look at our church, and I want to remember, we don't want to be like the world if we're going to help them. We're going to have to be different. We're going to have to be more loving. We're going to have to be more caring. We're going to have to be more serving. We're going to have to be more like our King, more like our Savior. Because the more we act like this world, the less we're going to be of a help to them. Nobody wants our help if we're not getting no help. So God's called the church now. We're to be the light to the world. Jesus says, you're the light. And let your light shine. So, yeah, so we'll always be able to do more, right? And so Paul's like, although the Jews weren't doing good, he says, neither were you. He's like, while we're talking about it, Paul says, had no hope without God in this world. You know, people put their hope in so much stuff today, don't they? I hope Hillary Clinton goes again one more time. And then people are like, no, Trump's going to do it. I mean, even talking about this right now gets the room thick. We'll get into why in a second. Oh, God, I hope Trump does it. Oh, I hope somehow Biden pulls it off. Oh, I hope that new Green Deal really catches on, you know. I hope Amazon Prime actually gets to my house in 2 days for once. Good luck. All this hope and that we're looking for something to come into our life. God, I hope I get married. God, I hope I have kids. God, I hope that this dream of mine takes off. I just got all my hope in these places. And then all these hope in these places becomes a real big problem. And he says, you were without hope. But now we have hope in Christ. This whole world, hey, I don't care who gets elected next. I really don't. I'm getting tired of it. Because you know what I found out? It doesn't matter who's president, because there's other people running this country anyway. It really just don't matter who. I'm not saying don't vote, and I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just saying I'm a citizen of another kingdom. I don't even belong to this place. You guys go on ahead and fight. This ain't my place. And so Paul says now, but check it out, we have a hope in Jesus. Do you know philosophers and the greatest thinkers have been thinking about what happens after death? What's the meaning of life? Like, what's the purpose of it all? How does it all work out? What's the deal? What is this? We don't know, we're all mixed up and we're looking to all this stuff. And the only thing they can do is theorize, theorize, is that a word? I don't even know. Let's just go with it. If you say it fast, they'll believe it. Theorize. And they start thinking about all this stuff. They have no idea. But we do. We know where the hope comes from. Hope comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And you know what? We have those answers. Guess why? Because we got the Word of God, the Bible. Come on. Basic instructions before leaving earth. So if you want to know what the deal is, get into the Word of God and he'll set you straight and he'll tell you. And here's the deal. We're moving on to some better places than this place. Trust me, life is going to go on beyond the elections. Thank you, Jesus. But there's work for us to do. We're God's workmanship, created in good works that we should walk in them. How you doing with that? So Paul, now as he's getting ready to close this section out, though there was a time that we were all far from God, but look what Paul says now in verse 13. But now, I love the buts in the Bible because they're just big and they're good. But now, in Christ Jesus, keep your head on the scriptures, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Paul doesn't say by the bunk trial that you've been brought near. Paul doesn't say that it was by the setup. Paul doesn't say it was any of those things. Paul says it was by the blood, because what he wants us to get is that there was a fight for you. Blood was shed for me. Blood was shed for you. That's why Paul's saying it's by the blood of Christ that we were brought near. There was a straight up old school sacrifice where there was a perfect lamb put on a piece of wood called the cross, and the lamb was called the Son of God. And he was able to do it. See, the Bible tells us that apart from shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins with God. In other words, somebody's going to pay. And this isn't like something you can just write a check for. We needed a perfect, free of blemish sacrifice. And you know what? We were born in sin and we didn't get much better when we grew up. But Jesus, born perfect, lived perfect, died perfect, resurrected perfect. And it says, the Bible tells us, that it's in that blood and it's in Christ's love that he bore our sins, meaning he took them in him on the cross, penalty paid, done. You know what we do? Nothing. We enjoy grace. We enjoy mercy. We enjoy communion with God. Yes, even after whatever happened last week or this morning, we got it forever. No conditions. And I believe the reason why, I'm going to finish. But sometimes I just want to keep on going forever. But do you know why God gave you grace? And I think if I was to ask you, is grace fair? You're going to raise your hand and say no. And you're right. Grace is not fair. Because what grace is God giving us what we didn't deserve, right? But you know why he gives us what we don't deserve? And why he's good and grace is not fair? Because life is not fair. You know, when God looks at you, he knows that you were born in a situation, you were going to live a certain life, and not one of us asked it to happen. Does that blow your mind? And so he says, look, life ain't fair. That's why grace ain't fair. I'm going to give you what you didn't even deserve or ask for because you need it. How many of you guys need grace this morning? We need it. And so he says it's by the blood, and we know that Christ didn't just die for some of us, but all of us. Don't ever tell me that someone's too far from the grace of God. Don't ever tell me that someone's never going to figure it out. They're just gone. They're in jail. They're a mess. They're on dope. They're an alcoholic. They're always getting drunk. They're always getting high. I tell them about Jesus. I bring them to church. They don't listen, Jason. They're done. Don't tell me that. Jesus didn't die for some of us, but all of us. And I'm going to tell you something. If God can do a work in me, he can do a work in anybody. Anybody. I guarantee you, I was farther gone than any of you guys. Like Paul said, as far as sinners go, I was the worst. And I can tell you right now that God has took me, transformed me, given me a new heart, put me in a different direction, and now we're having some church today. But I'll tell you what, 10 years ago, this wasn't like what it was. But there's been a transformation. I can't believe someone's too far from the grace of God. I'm sorry, don't tell me that. If you want to believe it, it's up to you, but I don't see it. So we're saved by the blood. He brings us in. And so Paul, he says, that's why he says in verse 14, check this out. He says in verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Now, I'm going to get into that. He's talking about Gentiles and Jews. We got to teach a little bit and hang in there. We got to know what the Bible teaches. And so what Paul says, he's starting into this argument about this racial tension thing between Jews and Gentiles, but he starts it out saying that Jesus is our peace. And we already know that there ain't no kind of peace like Jesus being your peace. And so he says, he brings up this issue about the circumcision and the uncircumcised, the Jews. The Jews were the circumcision group. They were the cool group. And they believed peace came from performance. If I keep the rules, if I do a good job, if I make sure I give in the offering box, if I get my scriptures straight, if I'm always doing the right, always doing the right stuff, then that's going to bring peace, because if I perform, then there's peace. Some wives think that. If I just perform, if I do good, if I keep my, there's going to be peace in the house. We all know what that's like. Performance equals peace. But you know what? It never really brought peace. And then the Gentiles, they believed, hey, peace comes from riding this life till the wheels fall off. You want to have peace, it comes from doing your own thing. They would look at the Jews and be like, man, you're stupid. You guys are going to pass up free dope? You guys aren't going to the club? You're not going to party? Like, what's up with you guys? You guys are ignorant. Ride this thing till the wheels fall off. That's how you do it. That's how you live. That's how you have peace. But you know what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12? Check this out. That there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end ends in death. How many of us could say, yeah, there was a time where I thought I had it all figured out and I went for it, and at the end of it, it was dead to me. Kill me. And so they were both wrong. Both were broken. Performance isn't bringing peace, and riding it till the wheels fall off doesn't bring peace either. And so what Jesus did is he says, listen, I'm going to take the two of you guys. You got rules and regulations, and then you got these guys over here are riding the life till the wheels fall off and doing all this crazy stuff, and they're both off the rails. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring them together, and I'm going to be their peace. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, you keep in perfect peace whose mind is on you. So God, check this out. We're going to finish off with this here. But what he's doing is Jesus is bringing these two crazy groups that totally hate each other, and he's going to bring them together into one person. In fact, the Jews, it says that Jesus broke down the wall of separation. The very fact that Paul's writing this, the way we got this right here, this is so funny when he wrote that. Because Paul, the reason why he's in jail is because he went into the temple area and there was a wall of separation there that kept Gentiles out and let Jews go in to a certain point. Now, here's the thing about that wall. When you would go in as a Gentile, you could only go as far as where the animals were. Because you remember how they did sacrifices, right? I mean, it was like PETA's worst nightmare. So they were doing all these sacrifices, and they got all these animals here. And that's where all the filth and the waste from the animals, urine and everything, all over the place. So if you were a Jew and you wanted to bring them to church, you'd be like, hey, come to me with church. It's going to be awesome. Oh, but by the way, the only place you can get to is this place right here where there's all this poop and pee. Hey, God loves you and so do I. I'll be right back. And that's what it was like bringing a friend into the temple who wasn't a Jew. And so Paul, if they were to go by that wall of separation, there was punishable by death. And so there were some Jews and they saw Paul with these two Gentile friends of his. And they thought that he had brought him past that point, and they wanted to kill him, and so they arrested him, and now he's in prison. This is why he wrote Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, and Philemon, because he brought these guys into the temple, but he didn't bring them to that point. And so they hated Gentiles so bad that if you were in Walmart and a Jew, and you brushed up against somebody who is a Gentile, they would go like this. And then they would like repent, and then they would have to go home, burn their clothes, and take a shower. Could you imagine hanging out with somebody like that? You're just like, you touch them, and they're like, oh, I got to go home and burn this outfit, and I just bought it. And then the Gentiles would look at them, act like that, and this is what they would say. We've got conversations recording this stuff. And then Gentiles who were non-Jews would look at them and say, you know what? You're Satan in the reincarnated. And they would go back at it, back and forth and fight, and there was all this division and hostility. And so this is what Jesus did when he made the two groups one. And I'm going to close this out with this, and I'm going to show you how this applies to us, because this is so speaking to us today. He says in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that's hostility, the conflict, that is the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. He's not saying Christ put to death the law. And so how did Jesus abolish the enmity? This is what he did. Because Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he says, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to what? Right, to fulfill it. Because you can't get rid of God's law. You know what God's law is? Perfection. It's always there. It's going to be there. And so what Paul's saying is that we can't keep up with that. We can't do it. And so Jesus, by fulfilling the law, abolished the need for us to try to get it right with the law to have our life right with God. So now we're justified by faith. Not what you do. And I promise you, you just heard that. And if you would own it, it would change your life, because you wouldn't be under this heavy burden of legalism. And you got to get it all right. I got to do it right. I got to get it perfect. And I'm not trying to tell you to go out of here and sin. I'm trying to tell you that God, we are justified by faith, and that's it. That's it. Done. You're good. Just like you are. And all your issues. He did it. And so by doing that, he brought the two together in one person. And so the Jews they just needed to be reconciled to the Gentiles and the Gentiles the Jews, but they both had to be reconciled to God. Verse 17, and he came and he preached peace to them who were far off and those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father. So it's because of Jesus, access to the Father. Meaning that Paul's talking about in Matthew 27, I believe it was, when Jesus was on the cross and he gave up his life and there was that big temple. Hey, did you guys know that when you look at our building, do you know what this place looked like? The temple. The inside. For you Bible thumpers, you know, the Christians that have been studying forever, you guys know. Wow, this is what it looked like. The Holy of Holies. And there was a big curtain that would have gone this length right here, thick and heavy, that separated everybody from the inner room where God's presence was. And the Bible says that when Jesus gave up his life, that thing ripped from the top to the bottom, and it was a sign, because now we can all come into the presence of God. Anybody, it doesn't matter who we are, because Jesus ripped the veil. And so Paul, he says, now therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners. Why? Because God wants nothing in between us but Jesus. And he says, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Worship team, come on up. So what Paul tells us as we end this off, and this is why this was really challenging me when I was reading this section of Scripture. Because, see, there was divisions very much so in that day. The Jews are walking around, Jewish Lives Matter shirts. You got these Gentiles wearing Make Rome Great Again hats. And you got all these cliques and all these groups and all these divisions and schisms and all of this stuff. And we've got the same thing today, don't we? Very much so. I mean, we don't even have conversations anymore because we're afraid as soon as we open our mouth, oh, there it goes. And then you're in a fight and you're this and you're that. So there was this tension, there's this division and all of this stuff that they were going through. And what happens if we're not careful? We can look at a certain group of people, whether it's the color of their skin, the political affiliation, any of that stuff, and automatically we look at them through filters. This is the sad thing, church. Because of the culture and the media, which is controlled by the prince of the power of the air, we talked about that last weekend, we are getting influenced to have filters that every time we look at somebody, we look at them a certain way. And what Jesus is doing, he's saying, hey, listen, if someone has put their faith and their trust in the Lord, they're saved. They're saved by grace through faith, and they belong to the Lord. It's no longer us or them. It's Christian. And that's what Paul's saying. And I want to tell you guys something this morning. Sometimes it's very hard, especially when you know people who have hurt you, lied to you, cheated on you, been bad to you. They end up getting saved, giving their life to the Lord. And you've got all these filters. And it's easy to build a case against people, but what the Word of God is saying, hey, let's start building a case for people. Let's look at them as brothers and sisters in the Lord and give them a chance in Christ instead of divisions and schisms and all of this stuff, because there's no more us or them, it's Christian. I found that out, Vicki and I, when we were in our 20s, we went to a church and we opened the door and it was an all-black church. And it was in a rough place, and it was during the Rodney King. You guys remember Rodney King? How many of you guys remember Rodney King? You're all old. So here's the thing. There was a lot of tension during that time. Vicky and I and the kids, we walk into this church, we open the door. I tell you the truth, there was one other white couple in there and they left. And I sat in the back of that church, and Vicky and I, and we had our girls. And I was like, we don't belong here. This is gonna be rough. You know what they did? They came, they loved us, ministered to our children, me. Pastor taught me how to golf and cheat in a holy way. It was cool. And I promise you, there was no division between us. Nothing. It's like my mom and my dad. It was crazy. It was just, and here's why, because there's no more us or them, it's Christian. And so as we go out today, I want to encourage you, if there's somebody in your life that's given their life to the Lord, start building a case for them instead of a case against them, amen. Would you guys stand with me as we close out prayer? And this is what we're going to do. We're just going to close out in one worship song. We're going to go ahead, stand with me. Come on, you guys stand up and let's just stretch it out for a minute. Stretch it out. We're going to praise our way out of here this morning, you guys. Hey, I want to pray for the one who came in here today that feels like they don't have access to God, who feels like Paul was saying, far away, cut off from promises. And the Lord's been speaking to you. And he's calling your name right now. And he's like, listen, you don't have to stay far off. You can be brought near. There's a new way. There's a better way of doing things. And the way things have always been don't have to be the way that they're always going to be. But we're going to have to listen to that and respond to God working in us. I believe there's somebody in here today. And I really do believe God has been speaking to you. This is your opportunity to respond to him. So let's pray. Father, forgive us of our sins. Lord, although our sins were scarlet, you've washed them white as snow. You've cleansed us. Didn't just clean us up. You cleansed us entirely. And your word says that whoever comes unto you, that you shall not turn away. And that's a word for somebody who's tried to reach out before and has just gotten shut out. Today's a day that you come into a new family. Today's a day that you come into a new life. Today's a day that you come into salvation by laying it before the Father. And when we ask for forgiveness, he's faithful and just to forgive us, not hold it over you, not remind you about it all the time. It's done and paid for. So, Father, we give our life to you. Jesus, thank you for your death on the cross. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.